Blog Talk Radio.
Episode of Kyle Carroll MMA Sports Talk on Long Island. Today we are joined by a Long Island MMA amateur fighter, Vincent DiRizzo. Vinny, am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah, you're saying it right.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. So we're joined here by him today. We're going to talk a little bit UFC first. Over the weekend we had Rafael Dos Anjos versus Donald Cerrone. First round, TKO. Happened in 1:06 for the lightweight title. I think it's kind of amazing that Dos Anjos has turned the corner after a couple years ago he was struggling, and now he knocks Anthony Pettis off, now Donald Cerrone. What are your thoughts on the UFC fights? Did you watch them the other night?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to. I was at a bunch of Christmas parties, and they're not MMA fans like me, so I wasn't able to watch them.
Gotcha. Yeah, Long Island, it's still tough to find fans, like as if you're watching football or something to talk about.
I mean,
that's
the Jets
for sure.
Game was on. The Jets game was on that night, so they had the Jets game on instead.
At least the Jets won, right?
Yep.
It was a painful season, even though they're still kind of inching into the playoffs. And then Nate Diaz fought Michael Johnson. That was a big fight. I know a lot of people were anticipating that. He had a few words for the commission afterwards, and pretty much Fox News, or Fox, bleeped out his entire post-fight speech. Were there any fights on that card that you really wanted to see, or was there anything that you just kind of like, it's just another fight card in the UFC?
I mean, it was just another fight card, but I did want to see Dos Anjos versus Cerrone, and I got to give it to Dos Anjos, man. He has been pulling huge fights, huge wins. And I'm now excited to see it because I just heard that the next fight will be Conor McGregor. I don't know if that's like official, but if that is official, I'm excited to see that.
Oh, so McGregor is supposed to get the next shot at the title for the lightweight title.
Correct.
I haven't even heard that. That is interesting. I don't know if McGregor will be able to handle all of Dos Anjos. That's for sure. Yeah, there was some good fights and whatnot. Looking at the results, I haven't gotten to see all of it. I just saw lots of clips of a handful of fights here and there. I know Alistair Overeem, he's off the juice and knocked out Junior Dos Santos in the second round. Is there any one matchup in the UFC that you would want to see, Vinny?
I mean, I want to definitely see, and I think everyone will agree with that, Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo again. I mean, there was really nothing there, and I definitely want to see that fight. I want to see definitely John Jones come back and get his title again. But as far as that, not really.
All right. Now, for the Conor McGregor-Jose Aldo fight, I've been asking everyone this. Do you think it was pure luck that he caught him with that left hook, or do you think he was prepared and that was a skillful, technical knockout?
I think it was luck. I mean, for 13 seconds, it was too soon to, you know, be pure skill and technical knockout. I think he just happened to throw the left hook, catch Aldo's hands down, and knock him out.
All right. Thoughts on Weidman losing to Luke Rockhold? Did you expect that? I know I personally didn't. I thought Weidman was going to kind of walk through Luke Rockhold.
I mean, I expected it. I thought Weidman was going to go, you know, into the championship rounds. But I thought Luke Rockhold was, you know, too dominant of a fighter for him. He's gone against some big names. Weidman's gone against some big names. But I thought Luke Rockhold all around is a better fighter than Weidman.
Luke Rockhold has been in the game for quite some time, that's for sure. He was a Strikeforce champion, for anyone who doesn't know. Anyone who wants to call in and ask Vinny any questions or myself any questions, please feel free to. The number is 213-943-3517. That's 213-943-3517. Feel free to call in and ask any questions if you'd like. All right, now, Vinny, we're going to hop to yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your record, where you're from, how old you are?
Yeah, I mean, my record is 6-1. I believe I have 4 submissions, all chokes, 1 TKO, and 1 going the distance. And then, of course, I have 1 loss. I train out of Belmore Kickboxing with under Keith Trimble and Spiro, and I'm 27 years old, you know, just trying to live the dream.
All right. Now, how did you get into MMA? Like, what brought you in? What got you training?
It's a funny story. I used to work at a pizzeria, and my owner at the time wanted to do, like, mixed martial arts as a hobby. So he asked me if I wanted to join him. I joined with him, and, you know, I fell in love with it, and been doing it for coming on 6 years now, maybe more than that.
Oh, awesome. All right, so you got into it through someone else kind of dragged you there.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Now, does anyone else... I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I was just saying the competitor in me, you know, just kind of took over, and I just started competing.
Now, did you play sports in high school or college?
I played football.
Okay,
both college and college and high school.
Where at in college?
I played at Nassau, and I got accepted to go to Cortland, but I decided not to return back to school after Nassau Community.
Cool. All right. Now, does anyone else in your family train or anything? Any cousins, brother, anyone?
No, just me. I'm the only crazy one.
All right. Now, you take us through training for a week or preparing yourself for a fight. You just fought, I believe, a fight in New York City last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, at the MMA Expo.
Okay, and then you came out in a split decision, correct? Awesome. Congrats on the victory. Can you tell us about leading up to the fight, what you do, losing weight, a little bit of everything.
So, yeah, basically leading up to the last week of the fight, training camp is over, so we cut down, you know, cardio. The only cardio I do is running in a sauna suit. I'm not really doing mitts as much that week. I'm just, you know, staying, trying to drop my weight down. So basically I'll go from leading up to the last week, I'll go from 4 or 5, maybe 6 meals a day, good portion size. I'll drop it down to 3 meals a day, very small. And Monday I'll have, you know, a gallon of water. Tuesday I'll have 3/4, Wednesday half, Thursday a quarter, and basically Friday nothing until I weigh in to cut down my weight. But usually I go from 2 weeks before my fight, I'm usually 215, so I drop from 215 to 185 within 2 weeks.
Now, how much of a drain does that put onto your body? Do you feel it, or are you able to recover well?
I feel it, like I've been feeling it the last 2 fights because I really haven't given my body a break in between fights. I literally will go into a fight, and because I've had, you know, first round stoppage, I'll look at my coach and I'll be like, all right, I'll see you Monday. So really I only have like a day off, which would be Sunday, and I go back into training. So I never gave my body recovery time to adjust back up and so I can have a cut down, you know, a nice smooth weight. So I kind of, on this one, I felt it. I definitely felt it. So that's why after this fight I wanted to take off on my own terms, but unfortunately during my fight, I broke my hand in the first round, so now I have to take off regardless.
Shit, so you broke your hand in the first round and you continued throughout the fight through, was it five rounds or three rounds?
Three rounds.
Okay, and 5 minutes or 3 minutes is?
In amateur, it's three-minute rounds.
Okay, all right. So you went the distance with a broken hand, and now did that affect your game plan? What was going through your head when you broke your hand?
Well, it definitely did affect my game plan because, one, I really, in the second round, I couldn't put any pressure on it. I was still feeling it. So when my opponent was on top of me, you know, I'm basically with, you know, three limbs instead of four, and you know, two out of the three are my legs. So I couldn't really push off his neck. I couldn't really get wrist control. So all I did was just grab him and held him, his chest on my chest, and try to keep him there so he didn't rain any punches on me. And, you know, so the fight wouldn't get stopped because the ref thought I was just getting a beating. So I did what I had to do to go the second round. By the third round, my hand was numb. The adrenaline was up, and I didn't feel it. So finally, I was able to take him down in the third round, and then I just rained punches as much as I can to get the third round.
Jesus. Now, was there at any point in the fight you thought, I'm just going to call it quits, or?
No. No.
Not all. Oh, that's insane. All right. Now, do you need surgery, or is it just in a brace, or what's the time off period?
Unfortunately, I need surgery, which I'm getting on Christmas Eve. So I broke the metatarsal, and the doctors want me to put pins in it. So looking like a 4 to 6 week recovery time.
All right. So you won't be defending a title anytime soon within the next few months. Well, that's unfortunate that you got to have it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
It's going to make a very very faded Christmas, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is what it is. I got to get it ASAP, the doctors told me, so that was the earliest they could have done it.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you want to get it done sooner than later. Now, you train at a Belmore Kickboxing. I know that's a heavy striking school. Now, do you have any background in jiu-jitsu or wrestling? Or do you primarily focus on striking?
Well, I primarily focus on striking, but my trainer, Keith, he's been working wrestling with me a lot because I have really no wrestling background, never wrestled. I have somewhat of a jiu-jitsu background, like a low-level blue belt, but, yeah, we focus more on striking because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what level you are, jiu-jitsu belt, if you get hit, once you get hit, that, you know, you can go from a black belt to a white belt in one hit. So we focus mainly on my stand-up more than anything. And if it ever goes down to the ground, then I know I have a good base to keep to stay comfortable on the ground.
Now, do you go to other gyms to train at all, or you just focus, stay at Belmore Kickboxing?
I have other trainers. I have LT Taylor, who's my jiu-jitsu coach. So he trains out of Monster, so sometimes he'll try to get me to go there. If not, we'll go to any school he tells me to go to get some more work in with other people. But my main focus is Belmore. You know, it's simple. I'd rather just stay at one school and keep it at one school because then I can work my schedule around their schedule.
Okay, all right. Now I understand you're talking about working your schedule. I understand you're as well a gym owner, a CrossFit gym owner?
Not a CrossFit, just a regular personal training gym out in East Northport. It's called Revolution Fitness. We've been open for 4 years now. We used to be an MMA school called Northport MMA, and a year ago we changed it over to a personal training gym. So, yeah, I own that. I have cardio kickboxing classes, Zumba, yoga, boot camp, but no CrossFit.
Okay, all right.
I try to stay far away from CrossFit as possible.
Is there a reason? I know a lot of people became the trend. Everyone was doing CrossFit. Now it seems like a lot of people are getting away from it. Tell us what the difference.
Yeah, it's injuries, man. That, listen, I think I've seen, you know, what they do in CrossFit. And don't get me wrong, it's an awesome workout. But being a personal trainer, doing lifting weights for basically all my life, you know, when I see people do imperfect form, you know, it bothers me. So I can't condone that, you know, here. So I would never be a CrossFit gym because of just all the stuff they do. Like, I have so many clients that are coming in here now that were CrossFitters that they, you know, had this surgery, that surgery because they were doing it improperly. So I have to fix them back up now because CrossFit damaged them.
Gotcha. All right. Now, do you do any more, like you said, cardio, kickboxing and such? Do you do any mixed martial arts classes there still, or?
Yeah,
okay.
We do Muay Thai Monday, Wednesday, Friday right now at 6 o'clock. And then in January, I'm going to probably get my jiu-jitsu class back in here, my jiu-jitsu coach. So we're going to get that started back up.
All right. Well, if someone was interested in attending your gym or finding you guys online or social media, how would they go about finding you guys?
They can look on our website, Revolution Fitness Gyms. GYMS.com, or they can call the gym at 631-651-5157.
Excellent. All right. Now, I was curious about your titles. I know you have an MMA Platinum Gloves title at middleweight.
Yep.
Is that the only one you have right now? Or?
Yeah, that's the only one I have right now. If it all goes well with this hand, hopefully in early April, maybe late May, March, whatever New York Fight Exchange puts, whatever card they put in on that, hopefully I'll challenge for the middleweight title then over there.
All right. Now, I saw one particular person, I believe his first name was Jonathan, was talking a lot of trash talk online and whatnot. Is he just another fighter, just wants to get a shot at the title, or is he... Like, does that happen often, being that you are the Long Island champion? No?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen often. I've actually spoke to John. I happened to see him out the night of my fight, after my fight, and we talked, and, you know, he apologized for, you know, showing me some disrespect online. He just, you know, wanted what I had, and he realized that in order for him to get that title, he had to earn it, and... You know, having a 1-2 record in MMA doesn't earn you a shot. You might have a winning record in kickboxing, Muay Thai, but at the end of the day, it's not MMA. So he apologized, and I got no harsh words for him now. It's over with. It's done with.
Okay. Now, who would be next? I know Nick from MMA Platinum Gloves was trying to get someone down. I guess he's like the number one ranked amateur in New York State from upstate. Trying to get him down, but he hasn't really cooperated to come down. Anyone that you would want to fight to kind of bring you to the next level before, say, turning pro?
Well, I mean, if I go for the middleweight title in New York Fight Exchange and face Najib Jones, you know, that would be a good fight for me to get me to the next level. I think he's ranked, you know, I think 7th or 6th. Whereas, I mean, I haven't checked the rankings in a while. Last time I checked, I was ranked 3rd. So, but, yeah, anyone that's in the top 10, I don't mind going against. I would love to go against the number 1 ranked and fight him. I mean, the last guy I fought, I don't know what he was ranked, but, you know, he was definitely a good fight, good competition, good fight. Unfortunately, like I said, I, you know, broke my hand, so it kind of screwed up my game plan. I should have finished him in the first round, but once I broke my hand, I kind of, like, stopped punching with that hand. So, but, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Whoever they put in front of me.
All right. Now, what's your timetable for turning pro? You already have 6 fights amateur already under your belt. I know around here a lot of people decide to just jump right into it after, like, 1 or 2 fights. Is that something you want to do, or is it kind of more down the road?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to go pro right now, but I respect what my coaches tell me, and if they say I'm not ready for the pro level yet, then I'm not gonna, you know, jump the gun.
Okay.
So cool. Right now they're telling me, hopefully by the end of this year, I'll get my pro debut. If not, then whenever they tell me, you know, I respect them 100%. I have all my faith in them for them to help me get down the road that I want to get down.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick, like a 2 minute break. For those of you who want to call in, it's 213-943-3517. You can follow us on mymmanews.com or on social media at Carol's Corner MMA. If you have any questions or anything like that, so just hold on one moment, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Question. I was curious, how has fighting changed you, and if it has in any way, how has it?
Oh, it's changed me a lot. I mean, it made me become a more humble person. You know, even though with all the wins and whatnot, a lot of times when I won in football or just won in general, I was a cocky son of a bitch. Sorry, my language. But you know, it made me humble, especially you know going to. Changing schools over to Belmore, they've changed me so much and made me as humble as I am today. And made me so much more disciplined, gave me such a good work ethic. Let me tell you, like, I'll look at people and they're like, oh, I worked these many hours, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Hours upon hours upon hours to train for, what, tops 12 minutes right now? No, nine minutes. You know, hopefully one day, 15 minutes. But you put in hours for that short little time, and sometimes you might not come out with a win. You might come out with a loss. But at the end of the day, you know, it's those hours that you've put in that make you such a humble person. That you know, make your work ethic such a huge part of your life. So without fighting, I probably wouldn't have the work ethic that I have now. I go to work. Literally, I get to my gym 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't get out till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and in between my hours, I'm training with my team. So it's definitely changed my life for the good.
Awesome. All right. Now, I believe on last Monday, I saw You did a Motivational Monday. It was a photo of you and your brother, and your brother had a lot of trophies with him in front of him. And it looked like he cleaned up this after this high school football season. And then you mentioned your mother passing away. Can you kind of talk about the difficulties and what it kind of took for you guys to get through to where you are?
It took a lot, more so for my brother than me, I guess, because he was in the car when they had the car accident. She passed, so it was more of an emotional roller coaster for him. I kind of put everything that my mom taught me and what she, you know, the love she had for me and my dad and my brother. I kind of put all that on my shoulders and just moved forward. If you were to ask any of my friends or family today, you know, how I responded when I found out my mom died, I just had tunnel vision. I just moved forward. I said, okay, we will be okay and we'll get through this. I don't think I shed as terrible as it sounds. Like, I don't think I even shed a tear for my mom in front of anybody. Like, I did that stuff on my own terms. But it took a while. It took a good 5 years. You know, she passed 5 years ago on July. So it took a good 5 years for my family and I to, you know, move, get together and, you know, get over the hurdle that we had to get over. And it definitely showed with my brother this season in football. He got all the vision on his team. He cleaned house as one of the defensive players on the team. You know, got basically all the trophies for them for a defensive player. He also got what's called a 12th man award that Suffolk County hands out to one person only, and that it recognizes someone that, you know, went through some hardship in his life and overcame it through football and in academics. So we definitely, you know, we've definitely came a long way from what happened 5 years ago, and we still have a long way to go, but, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and like I keep telling everybody, this is only the beginning. My mom's death is what's fueling me to go to the next level, never give up. Again, some people have broke their hands in the first round, might have just, like, in between rounds, thrown in the towel and called it quits. I didn't. I kept going, and that's something my mom taught me, is never give up, always go forward, no matter how much it hurts. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. I give you a lot of props. It's a lot of weight on your shoulders, and not many people could do that. So, like I said, I give you a lot of credit for that. So what are your plans for the future in MMA? Like, I know we mentioned about going pro and all, like, do you have your goal? Do you have, like, short-term goals, long-term goals? Do you have them all laid out, or are you kind of playing it as it goes?
You know, my short-term goal, I got them all laid out. This is my short-term goal, is, you know, try to get into the ring of combat and just do my best there and see how far I can get in there. And, you know, if it's looking like, you know, I'm doing pretty well in the ring of combat, then obviously, you know, the next level is either Bellator or UFC or World Series fighting. You know, try to get in one of those big organizations and, you know, hopefully make like a legit career out of this. I'm, you know, as much as I love fighting and I love the competition and the training for it, at the end of the day, you know, I'm here to, I'd like to make some money out of it. And, you know, I'm not putting my body on the line for nothing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, like, the MMA, unfortunately, like, a lot of MMA fighters really don't make a ton of money. Is there anything particular that you think that fighters need to do, say maybe create a union or anything in particular, especially in New York? I know it still has to become legal for professional, but is there anything in particular that you think they need to do to get paid more?
I mean, I don't know what else they as people can do. Yeah, I mean, they can create a union, like the big-time organizations, like NFL has their own union, you know, all the major leagues have their unions, but again, I think it would be kind of hard to do that considering, you know, how many organizations there are for MMA. So I would love to see, you know, a union get involved, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I think what needs to happen is, UFC, Bellator, all these big time organizations that make a lot of money need to, start spewing out a little bit more, because at the end of the day, it's us fighters that are bringing in the money for them. It's not them. It's our hard work, our blood, tears, and sweat that are bringing in the hard work, bringing in the money for them. So I think it needs to start from there before it starts anywhere. And I doubt that'll even start either.
No, I was going to say, because I know boxing, the amount of money each fighter makes when, the big-time fights happen is just insane compared to what the top MMA fights make. Now, do you think that they need to become more, maybe sign more deals with, HBO or Showtime instead of just Fox, or to allow more sponsors? Is there anything particular, or is it just kind of just keep working at it and hopefully one day they'll crack through?
I mean, they have big-time sponsors. Yeah, I think if they had, a huge deal with HBO or Showtime, that would, do really well. But, again, Strikeforce had a deal with Showtime, and look where Strikeforce ended up. So I just think with the ticket sales they make, man, it could go, and the pay-per-view sales they have, they should definitely give more of that money towards fighters, but they're not going to. I mean, they're making millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on ticket sales. So, I always think no matter what, the main event, no matter what it is, unless it's a championship fight, each fighter should get over 500 Gs if it's a championship fight. If it's not just a main event, then the main event should get at least 500 Gs for it being a main event card. But, again, I doubt this is going to happen. Basically, in order to make money in the MMA, you got to hustle. You got to get those sponsor deals yourself and just get a bunch of sponsors to pay you.
Okay. Now, do you have any sponsors? Anything you would want to mention or tell us? Give a little shout out to if you have any.
Yeah, I have one sponsor right now, clothing line, DC Apparel. The website is dcsportsapparel.com. So right now that's one of my sponsors. I'm trying to get other sponsors going, but we'll see. Again, I'm an amateur, so it's kind of hard to get a bunch of sponsors yet at the amateur level. They want to see you go pro. So hopefully once I go pro, then I'll be able to get those sponsors.
All right. Now, for New York, as we all know, it's illegal to fight as a professional. Do you think it's backwards that you can fight as an amateur and not get paid, but you can't fight as a pro and get paid?
I think it is backwards. I mean, I don't see – there's nothing – I don't do anything different than what the pros do. I don't wear shin pads. I don't wear headgear. The only thing is I'm not allowed to throw knees to the head. And unless you're in the UFC, you don't throw elbows anyway. At least you can't throw standing elbows. They have to be you're allowed to throw standing elbows. You can't throw elbows on the ground, I'm pretty sure, at the small, Ring of Combat shows.
Okay.
So there's really no difference. So I don't see why they're not making it pro, but again, like anything else in this world, it's all about politics. It's all about who you're going to grease up in order to get it. So, we'll
see. I definitely agree. Hopefully they get it overturned. I know they're trying to make a big push this year. Hopefully they get it opened up. I know Madison Square Garden has been holding dates for the UFC every year, waiting for them to become legal in the United States or in New York to start up a show. Because I believe that's going to be one of the first places that will be the first place they have a fight. So, all right. And, anything else you want to tell us about? Other people you want to give a little shout out to or anything like that?
I mean, the only people I'd like to give shout outs to are, my teammates, my coaches, my family, friends, and my clients, everyone that backs me up. They're awesome. They, especially my clients, man, they put up with my crap. during my cut week. You know, I come in and I'm just miserable and I'm yelling at everybody and telling them, go away. Why do you even come in this week? Why do you even train? You know, I'm just going to kill you guys, blah, blah, blah. So I got to give them credit for, you know, always coming in and sticking with me and never leaving me as a client after that week, because I am definitely not a fun person to be around. Like I said, I am miserable. You know, when you're not eating and can barely drink and all you do is run to sweat out, it's not fun, but it's part of the game. So I got to give credit to them and my family that deal with that.
Okay, and now I had another question. I saw you do, I've done in the past, I've seen you do photo shoot and whatnot.
Yep.
With, I believe it was Katie. Could you
yep.
tell us a little about that? Have you done any more, or what was that for?
Well, that was just for her. She did a photo shoot for her portfolio. She was coming to my gym once in a while, and she asked me if I would do it. She needed a male guy that, you know, was cut up. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Right now I was planning, because after this fight, I was going to take a couple, like, months off from the cage and, you know, get my weight down from start walking around from instead of 215 to 200. And I had a bunch of photo shoots lined up for me so I can get my portfolio going, because a lot of these sponsors, they want to see, you know, especially the supplement companies, they want to see, you know, photo shoots and pictures. So I was going to get that ready, but that kind of, you know, put me on hold right now because of my hand, until I can get a waterproof cast on my hand and after my surgery, I really can't run or do anything, so I've kind of been a lazy guy and eating everything in sight, and something that I don't always condone, but it is what it is right now because I got nothing else to do.
Gotcha. Now, do you have any, like, post-game or pre-fight rituals, anything you do, like, or eat right after weigh-ins or after your fight?
I mean, the only, like, ritual I have is I have a necklace that my mom gave me, and it has her engagement ring on it. And before every fight, I give it to, you know, someone that's really close to me and that came to support me, whether it's my brother, when I had a girlfriend, it would be her, or my dad. So I just, you know, I would wear that around during warm-ups. I would have them, whoever it is, come to the locker room, and I would give that to it, say a prayer to my mom, and then go into the ring and, you know, get ready for battle. But as far as eating, right when I make weight, I have my Pedialyte, and then I eat, you know, some type of carb, some type of protein, vegetables, you know, and then make sure I have a good breakfast in the morning the next day, and just eat a couple of times, and I stop eating probably around 4 o'clock before I get to the place, because sometimes if I eat before my fight with the adrenaline getting up, I feel sick to my stomach. And I fought one time, you know, throwing up like 6 times before the fight, and ended up going the distance and losing because, you know, I just lost all energy from throwing up. But I told myself I'll never do that again.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to feel like crap when you walk into the cage. Now, who was the person that you lost to in the cage in the decision fight?
Well, the one that when I threw up, that was, three years ago.
Okay.
That was my first fight coming back from like a year layoff, and that was against Pat Carroll. We went the distance. I won the first round. He won the second round, and then the third round he won because I got a standing eight count. I kind of tripped over my 2 feet and hit the ropes, and they made sure that, you know, I was okay, so they gave me a standing eight, and because of that, you know, I ended up losing the fight. So that was kickboxing, but the one fight I lost in MMA was Dustin Brooks at New York Fight Exchange. That was just a terrible fight. I should have won that fight without a doubt. All the guy didn't want to get hit by me. Any punch I threw, any kick I threw, he, you know, all he did was shot on me and try to take me to the ground and then just lay on me. Like, there was, he just put all his weight on top of me and I couldn't get out of it. And he just won because he was on top of me. He didn't throw any punches on top of me. He didn't do anything. He didn't give me any opportunity to, you know, get out, when he would throw punches, because he didn't throw any punches, so I just lost the rounds because he controlled me on the ground.
Does he currently still fight, or would you want to fight him again if you could?
Well, he fights at light heavyweight. I did two light heavyweight fights before I went down to 185.
Okay.
Beginning of this year, so he was my one light heavyweight fight. So as a middleweight fighter, I haven't lost yet. Knock on wood, but I haven't lost one middleweight fight yet.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen you fight a few times at middleweight. You look awesome at middleweight. You move well. You definitely showed a lot of power. I know at MMA Platinum Gloves. Looking forward to seeing you fight again. Now, is there any hobbies that you have or anything you do when you're not training at the gym or working out for the cage?
I used to have hobbies. I mean, basically my life is all about training and working and my two little pits. But besides that, you know, I really don't do anything much. If I ever have time to hang out with my friends, I'll go out with my friends, you know, go catch a concert or go to, you know, in the city and just hang out. But, you know, me being a single guy, working my ass off, it doesn't really give me time to do much. I think that's why I'm still single, because I don't have time to go out and meet people. So, yeah, I wish I had time to do hobbies, but unfortunately I don't.
The drawbacks of someone who hustles, right?
Yeah, there always is, and you know, one day it'll pay off. So I'm not too worried.
Awesome. All right. So you could just tell us one more time how they could find your gym, how they could find you, your fighting. If you have a fighter page on social media and on the internet, how someone could find you if they're interested in following you.
Yeah, I mean, they can easily find me on Instagram, ViniD67. Is my username, or just type in Vincent DeRiso. I got Twitter at DerisoV, and then you can follow me on Facebook. And no matter what, whether you follow me, you'll find a way to get to my, you know, my gym pages, because I'm always posting things on Instagram about my gym, tagging my gym page in there and whatnot. So probably the best bet is just following me, you know, follow me how I do from amateur going to pro and everything, and just trying to change the game in the fitness world.
Excellent. Well, it was a pleasure to have you on, Vinny. It was awesome talking to you and getting to know you. I'm looking forward
to
your next fight. I hope your hand heals well and safe surgery on Christmas Eve. And happy holidays.
Too, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kyle Carroll for Long Island MMA Sports Talk. You can find us on Carroll's Corner MMA on Facebook or on Instagram. And as well, you'll find my writing on MyMMAnews.com and social media at MyMMAnews. So follow us there for all your MMA needs, sports news, and everything else you would like to know about mixed martial arts. Once again, it's a pleasure, everyone. And next week we'll be back on at Monday night, and I believe we'll definitely have another guest. Not sure yet who, but we'll have someone. So we'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just the god of everything else. I'll put holes in everything else. New god flow, fuck everything else. Supreme dope dealer. Write it in bold letters. They love a nigga spirit like Pocket the Coachella. They said Push ain't fit with the umbrella, but I was good with the Ye as a wholesaler. I think it's good the Ye got a blow dealer. A hot temper, match with the cold killer. I came up all for more than just to rhyme with them. Think 99 when Puff would have had shine with them. Yeah. Matching Daytonas, rose gold on us. Going ham in Ibiza then took a toll on us.
Ooh, since you overdo it, I'ma pour more.
Well, if you going coupe, I'm going four door.
Shake that body, party that ball.
Shake. they can't breathe. Claim they five stars, but sell you dreams. They say death multiplies by